Welcome to Gemara Markings. Hey, Shiur is Zvochim Daf Tzadi Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which our Shiur will commence is found at the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, 4 lines from the bottom at the very beginning of the Gemara. We saw in our Mishnah a situation of the different articles, Beged, Kli Cheres, and Kli Nechushes, that became Tomei outside of the Azara. In the case of the Beged, onto which fell some blood of a sin offering, we know there's a need to wash it in the Azara. In the event that the Beged, the garment, left the Azara, became Tomei, and we're talking again about a Beged that had the Dam Chatos absorbed in it, and it needs Kibbutz. The kibbutz is supposed to take place in the Azara. In the event that it left the Azara and became Tomei outside the Azara, we were confronted with a problem that it's forbidden to bring into the Azara, into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, things that are Tomei. The Mishnah offered a solution. It said that if it became Tomei outside the Azara, Koro, you tear it. Once it's torn, it loses the Tumah because it's no longer a functional item. The Gemara asks, and opens with a geometric form that we've written into the Gemara text. You can see a house form. On the outside margin, you'll notice we have a nosei mivne, a topic heading with a structural note combined. The little house form is featured, and you see it says, kushios, there's a series of questions, al hapisroinois, on regarding the solution, shehusgru b'mishnah, that were mentioned in the Mishnah, b'tipul hakelim shenipu, with regard to how to treat the vessels that became Tomei. So here we have a question, and there is an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll find a parallel arrow a few lines up, pointing to the line from which this question is coming. The Mishnah had said, "Nitmachutz l'kloyim kor o." If it became Tomei, the article of clothing that became Tomei with the blood that had been absorbed into it, the Chatos blood. So the Mishnah says, "You tear it." Now on this we ask, Maskif lo Ravina, Koro. Ravina asks, the Mishnah that says Koro, how can that be? Beged Omar Rachmono. The Torah says that a Beged is that which is brought into the Azora, or that must be subject to kibbutz. The Lav Beged Hu, in its torn state, it's no longer a Beged. It doesn't conform to the standard that is required by the term Beged. The Torah says that the Beged is that which is subject to kibbutz. So if I tear it, and I remove from it, or I thereby remove from it the definition of Beged, or the categorizing of the Beged as a Beged, how can I accomplish the mitzvah of kibbutz? The Gemara answers, the Meshayer Be Kedei Ma'afuris. As I tear the garment, I don't tear it completely into two, but I leave an amount of garment still attached that would be the size of a maforas, a type of garment that that has a minimum size to it. The Gemara asks, "Eini, is that so?" The Amar Rav Huna, "Lo shanu elo shelo shir bo kedei maforas." A talis, a garment that was tomei, and you tear it, so by tearing it, it becomes tohor. This is true that it becomes tohor, provided that you tore it, leaving a less than the amount of garment still together, less than a maforis quantity. A maforis, as we said, is a type of garment or apron that has a very small, has a small size to it. So we say that Rav Huna says that something loses its tumah, loses the tumah status, if you don't leave in it a kedei maforas, aval shir bo kedei maforas, if you had a large garment and tore it in the attempt of achieving purity, of achieving tara, but you didn't tear it enough that you ruined it from being even a kedei maforas, chibor havei, it still remains attached, it still remains a complete entity as far as the halacha is concerned, and therefore the tumah would still be upon it. So if you're trying to explain the Mishnah as koro and still retain the shein beged by tearing it and leaving a kedei maforas, you essentially haven't accomplished the removal of the tumah from it. The Gemara answers midrabbanan. The idea that was just mentioned, that if you leave a kedei maforas, it still has its tumah, that is only a rabbinic point. Namely, min ha-Torah, on a Torah level, if you tear the majority of the garment, even if the remaining amount that's not torn still is the size of a maforas, from a Torah perspective, it is tohor. The Rabbanon instituted, though, a ruling that we want you to tear more than a rove, more than a majority. We want you to tear even that you don't leave a kedei maforas, because they felt that if we rely on your tearing it only to a majority amount, you won't come to do the majority. And then it will be tome midoraisa. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, since we're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, we're not bound by the rabbinic restriction, and therefore, if you tear rove of the garment, leaving a mere kedei ma'afuras quantity, that is sufficient. What have you accomplished? You have removed the tumah from it, and you've also retained the shein beged, because by leaving a kedei ma'afuras, that is a beged. And as a result of it retaining the shein beged, the din of kibbutz can be accomplished. Kli cheres shiyotza, the Mishnah mentioned, if it became tomei, then you make a hole in it. So, but the question is, very similar to the question we just dealt with, how will making the hole enable us to accomplish the mitzvah of kibbutz? Kli omar rachmona. The Torah refers to a kli that was cooked in, the chatas was cooked in, it shall be broken. But if the cheres vessel has a hole in it, it's no longer a kli. Let's read that line again. Kli amar rachmona velo kli hu. Notice, of course, we have our house marking, because this is a second in the series of questions regarding the solutions offered by the Mishnah. And we're questioning now the solution of making a hole in an attempt to remove the tumah. How does that help us when by making the hole you have removed the shein kli from it? It's no longer categorized as a kli, and therefore I can't mekayim the mitzvah of kibbutz in that fashion, the mitzvah of shviras kli in that fashion. The Gemara answers, shenikev, and here we have a problem with a girsa. The original girsa of Shoresh Katan, there's a Shita Mikubetsis that has a girsa of Kedei Shemotzi Mashke, and then there's a Hagor, an amendation to that that says Kikoines Mashke. So if we take the last Pirush, we'll say that the hole that was made was a hole that's Kikoines Mashke, meaning if you were to submerge this vessel that you now make the hole in it, if it's a hole enough for liquids to enter the kli, that vessel is no longer tomei. It's no longer, you have removed the shein tumah from it. On the other hand, it still has a shein kli attached to it. Kli nechoshes pochaso. The Mishnah mentioned that the kli nechoshes that became tomei, this kli nechoshes that you need to do mriko shtifa to in the azara, it became tame outside the Azar, what do you do? Pochaso. The Gemara asks, well, if you're pochaso, which meant you make a large hole in it, v'hol lav kli hu, it's no longer a kli, and the mitzvah of Mikach Shtifa is a mitzvah that applies to a kli. The Gemara answers, derotzif le martzif, namely, after you made the hole, you then fix it through a process called rotzif miratzif, which basically seals the hole of the vessel. So once I've made the hole, it loses its tuma. Then I take a hammer and bang out the copper, and the banging of the copper thins it out and thereby expands it so that the hole is closed. So what we've seen so far is the three solutions of the Mishnah are in effect methods of removing the tuma while at the same time enabling us to preserve the original category. In the case of the beged, it's still called a beged. In the case of the cheres and the kli nechoshes, the shame kli is retained, enabling me to mekayim the respective mitzvahs. Amar Reish Lakish, mi'il shenitma, the mi'il, which is one of the big day kahuna, one of the begodim of the kohen gadol, if it became tamei, this mi'il that there splattered on it some dam chatos, some sin offering blood, it left the azora, became tamei, and now I have to bring it into the azora. How do I bring it into the azora and at the same time not violate the prohibition of bringing tamei things into the azora? At the same time, one has to bear in mind, the Gemara will point this out immediately, there is a prohibition of tearing the mi'il. We have a topic heading that accompanies this Gemara on the outside margin, the Nosei, mi'il shel big deha kuhuna, shenitaz ala adam chatos, the mi'il of the Kohen clothing, onto which there splattered some dam chatos, v'yotza v'nitma, it left the azor and became tamei, v'yesh isur lekoro, there is a prohibition of tearing that article of clothing. Ech machnisin oisoi lechavsa, how is it to be brought into the azora for the purpose of kibus? So the Gemara answers, Reish Lakish explains that the mil shenitma machnisoi bepochos misholosh al sholosh umechapsoi. You bring it in to the azora. Each time you bring less than 3 by 3. And by bringing a small shiur like that, less than 3 by 3, I am not in violation of bringing in an item, an article of clothing that is tamei. Mishum shenemar, the reason for this solution of bringing it in gradually, in quantities of less than 3 by 3, because the pasuk says lo yikorea, it shall not be torn. So the tearing solution is not available. Moisiv Rav Ado bar Avo, he'ovin v'harakim, thick clothing and thin clothing. Thin and thick are descriptions really of the types of strands that were used to weave the respective clothing. So thick clothing are clothing made of threads that have numerous strands in them, and rakim are thin ones. Ein bohen mishum shalosh al shalosh. So when you're dealing with oven, thick clothing, the mi'il was an av. It was a thick type of strand was used to make the mi'il. The shiur of 3 by 3 doesn't apply to it. This idea of a beged av, it's not roi for standard wearing. And as a result of it not having this minimum type shiur associated with it, the question is, if you're telling me that fabric that's considered av, if ein bohem sholosh ashosh, the restriction or the shiur of 3 by 3 doesn't apply to them, the question here really is, so then you could even bring in 3 by 3. Why does Reish Lakish say that you bring into the Azor only less than 3 by 3? The Gemara answers, Agav Avihen Chashivi. It's true that a small piece of oven fabric, we say, doesn't have the shear of 3 by 3. Namely, you can that it's not Mekabel Tumah even if you have 3 by 3. But if it's part of a large article of clothing, that's Agav Avihen. It's part of a large article of clothing, like as the is the case in the Mi'il Chashivi. Then it has Chashivus, and since it has importance and significance, the Shi'ur for Gabolas Tumah is thereby reduced. Even a smaller amount is Mekabel Tumah, and therefore the solution of the Mi'il that became Tameh is to bring it into the Azorah only less than 3 by 3. The Gemara now raises a question on the Mishnah. This is a long question. You can see through the kuf that's written into the right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. This question continues down around 6 lines from the top of Amud Beis. The Mishnah had mentioned that the kibbutz takes place in the Azorah. Amongst the materials used for the kibbutz, there are 7 substances that form the there are 7 substances that are used for the kibbutz. One of them is mei raglayim, urine. We know, the Gemara is going to ask, that we don't bring mei raglayim into the Beis HaMikdash. So if one does not bring in mei raglayim to the Beis HaMikdash, how can you insist on the kibbutz being done in the Azorah? Once again, if one of the substances needed for kibbutz is mei raglayim, and we know that mei raglayim is not to be brought into the Azorah, how can it be insisted upon that kibbutz is to take place in the Azorah? The Gemara asks, V'ha boi shivas samimonim. In order to accomplish the kibbutz, there are 7 substances that are necessary. The Rashi enumerates them, but for our purposes, it's sufficient to emphasize simply that Mei Raglaim is one of those 7. The Amar of Nachman Ravua, Dam Chatos, Umarois Negoim, Tzrichin Shivas Samimonim. For the Kiyum of Mitzvahs Kibus, with regard to the Mei Chatos, and with regard to Halochas that apply to clothing became afflicted with Negoim, with Tzoras, there's a need for kibbutz there too. You need to use the 7 known substances that Rashi enumerates, one of them being mei raglayim, vitanya. And we also have a teaching that says, Eloshein machnisin mei raglayim la mikdash. The one is not allowed to bring mei raglayim into the Beis HaMikdash. V'chitema, now if you'll try to suggest, demivla lehu behadi shiva samimonim, Ume'aver lehu lekulu kichad, that you really all you have to do is take the 7 substances, one of which is the meiraglayim, and it's mixed in with the rest, and they are applied in one shot, all 7 together, and thereby I'm not bringing in pure meiraglayim, but rather it's coming in as part of a mixture, and therefore it doesn't present a problem. The Gemara says that though is no solution. Vatnan heaviron shelo kisidron. If the substances were applied out of the order that they are mentioned in the Mishnah, oy shevira hevir shivason keechod, or and this is the solution the Gemara tried to offer, or they are placed on the garment all 7 at once, lo asa velo klum, you haven't accomplished anything. V'chitema, you might offer another solution. Demivla lehu bahadi chad misamimonim, that you take the mei raglayim and mix it in with one of the other substances. V'ha tzorech likaskeis shalosh pamim b'chol echot v'echot tnan. you have to rub the kiskus, which is an expression we saw in the previous sugya, that's rubbing the two sides of the garment one on the other. You've got to rub it three times, each substance individually. So the problem here is, how can you suggest to take the meiraglayim and mix it in with one of the other substances when each substance must be treated separately? That's the end of our long question. So the Gemara answers, Elo, demivla lehu b'roik tofel. The meiraglayim is not brought in as a pure substance, but rather it's mixed with saliva. That's tofel, meaning it's saliva from a person that has not eaten anything that day. The Amar Reish Lakish, roik tofel tzorach sheyeh im kol echad ve'echad. Roik tofel, the saliva actually is there to accompany each one of the other substances. So, being that the roik tofel is an ingredient that accompanies each one of the substances, including the meiraglayim. Therefore, the meiraglayim is not coming in a pure fashion, and thereby, I am able to accomplish kibbutz with the meiraglayim in the azara. The Mishnah. Echod shebishel boi, v'echod she'iro l'soicha roseach. Whether you're talking about a vessel that was used for cooking up the chatas, or a vessel into which it was poured while hot. Echad kodshei kodshim ve'echad kodshim kalim, te'unim mriko ushtifa. The Tanakhama says that mriko ushtifa is a halacha that applies not only to the high level sanctity korbanos, sacrifices, but also to the kodshim kalim, the lower level sanctity sacrifices. Rav Shimon Omer, Kotshim Kalim Ein Tunin Riko Shtifa. Rav Shimon disagrees on the issue of the Kotshim Kalim, claiming they do not need Riko Shtifa. We have attached to this Gemara on the outside margin a general topic heading, a no say kloli, Hechsher Kalim. The transforming of vessels that were problematic into something useful or allowed. The nosei, the topic at hand, will be She'elas Rami Bar Chama binyan Shviras Klei Cheres. Rami Bar Chama will raise a question in the Gemara regarding the halacha of breaking the earthenware vessel that was used for cooking the korban. The question deals with Tolosh Shpud Sho Chatos Ba'avir Tanur Sho Cheres, where a skewer was used, or a spit was used, in the airspace of an earthenware oven. The procedure of roasting something in an earthenware oven was as follows. There were coals in the bottom of this earthenware oven, and the meat was suspended on a spit in the airspace of the earthenware oven. The have a bishul below bilua, our note says. Within this earthenware oven, bishul, the preparation of the meat, or the making, the readying of the meat, the roasting of the meat, is accomplished below bilua, without any absorption, because any chatos meat or juices or gravy that drips, it drips directly into the coals. Ha'im shviras klicheres, we are going to ask, is the need to break a klicheres mishum bilua because of absorption? V'ochaleko bilua, in this particular case, there is no absorption into the walls of the vessel itself. Oidilmo afilu im nisbashel boi lechud b'li bilua, or it may be that the mitzvah of shviras klicheres is a xeris akos, of nothing to do with actual absorption, but merely by the fact that it's a vessel which was used to prepare a sacrifice. Xeris akos of ushi shaver. It's a Torah ruling that such a vessel shall be broken. Let us turn to the Gemara. Tan Ravonan, asher tevushal boi. This is a pasuk, Perek Vav in Sefer Vayikra, pasuk of Aleph. We've quoted it on the side. We've written it in. You can see Vayikra Vav Chaf Aleph, the pasuk. Let's read it before we go further. V'kli cheres asher tevusha bo yishover. So the pasuk says, "Asher tevushal bo, ainli ela shebishal bo." From that, I would understand that the earthenware vessel that needs to be broken is the vessel in which the food, the korban, was cooked. Ira l'secher roisech minayin. What about a case where I have an earthenware vessel that wasn't put on the fire, but rather the pot from which in which the chatas was cooked was then he poured into another earthenware vessel. That's ira l'socha. He poured into this other vessel. Minayin. How do you know from there? How do you know that such a thing must be broken? Also, tamid lomar asher bo yishover. Boi rami barchama. Toloi ba'avir tanur mahu. You had a spit on which there was sin offering meat that was roasted in the airspace of a tanur. We mentioned the tanur was a vessel that had coals in the bottom. It was a cylindrical shaped article with coals in the bottom. And in this case, he suspended a piece of korban meat in the airspace of the tanur. What is the din with regard to breaking the tanur? Abishol ubilua hu de kovid rachmona, odilma abishol below bilua. Is the Torah concerned with a vessel that was used not only for the cooking, but also there was absorption? In the case of the spit, there was only cooking without absorption. Odilma abishol below bilua, or maybe the Torah is concerned simply with bishol, and if that were the case, then this tanur would require shvira, breaking. Omar Rava, we see a diamond, and that's explained, the outside margin are under the Mivneh heading. These will be attempts to answer Rami Barchama's question. So Toshma, Echod Shebisha Boy, the Echod Shiira Losoichoi Roiseach. The Mishnah mentioned, and you can see where this quote is coming from by looking at the arrows that we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You see one here, and you scan up the page, you see another one. The Mishnah mentioned whether it's a vessel in which the korban was cooked, or it's a vessel into which the korban was poured. Now, in the case of the pouring of the korban into a receiving earthenware vessel, that receiving vessel is clearly something in which only bilua took place, no bishul. The bishul took place, the cooking of it took place in another vessel. So we see from this that if you have one aspect, in this case, bilua, the absorption, that is sufficient to cause it to be broken. With that in mind, we want to say that, likewise, if it were merely cooked in the vessel without absorption, as the case with the tanur that we mentioned before, that would also necessitate shvira. The Gemara responds and says that from this source we cannot conclude the issue of the tanur, which was bishul without bilua, because bolua below bishul lo komi bialon. The case that was featured here in this Toshma citation was an obvious situation. It's called bolua without bishul. That was never a question, and rather it's clear that that does require shvira. Ki kome bayalon bishul below bilua. What we're asking about is a case where the cooking of it took place, the preparation, the making, the readying of it for eating took place, below bilua, without any absorption. My, what's the din then? Toshma, yomer of Nachman or Ravua. Tanur shel mikdash v'shel matech shel mateches hoya. The tanur of the base of mikdash was made of metal. The Rashi says across from your shel mateches hoya, The thought is that because this is a havamina, why was metal used? It's because the oven was used for roasting the chatos sacrifice, and by having a metal tanur, you thereby circumvented the need for breaking the vessel. So the breaking of the vessel would have taken place in the case of the tanur. What is the nature of the tanur? The tanur is something in which there is bishul without bilua. The isakadaitoch bishul below bilua mutter. If one were to think that bishul without bilua would, in and of itself, since it's only bishul, that if you were to think that it would not necessitate shmira, nevid shacheris, let the tanur of mikdash be made of cheres. The Gemara rejects that. Kevon deika shiore menachos tafiyosim betanur deika bishul ubilua avdinon shel mateches. So the Gemara is telling us that with bishul without bilua, there would be no need for shvira. The question then is, if with bishul without bilua there's no need for shvira, why in the mikdash did they insist on having metal tanurim? The answer to that is because there was the preparation of menachos that took place in the tanurim as well. In that case, in the preparation of menachos, where the mincha was actually in contact with the inside of the tanur, there wasn't just bishul, the baking of it, but there was also bilua, the oil of the mincha got absorbed into the walls of the tanur. That's a case of bishul with bilua, and we're asking about a case of bishul without bilua. Hahu tanura, there was a case of a tanur of chulin, regular tanur in everyone's house. The adchu ba tichya, they smeared on the oven shuman, fats of an animal fats. Now, if I have a tanur that has animal fats smeared onto its inner wall, and I want to bake bread, and the method of baking bread was by slapping pieces of dough onto the inside wall of a tanur, and I have now a tanur that was smeared with meat-based fats. The Gemara goes on to say, Osra rabo bar iloi lemichla lerifta lioilam veafilu bemilcha. The rabo said, bread that's baked in such an oven, the oven that was smeared with animal fats, it is also to eat that bread. Even to eat the bread simply with salt on it, where there's no problem of, let's say, cheese that one might place on this fleishig, on this meat bread. The Havamina right now in understanding Rabba Bar Eloi, in that it's also to eat the bread altogether, even with salt, is because the tanur can never be cleansed from the absorbed meat-based fats. That even through firing it up, the fats are not going to leave the tanur. With that in mind, let's just go over Rabbo Bar Eloi. He said that his comment was that bread that's baked in an oven whose walls were smeared with animal fats. So Rabbo Bar Eloi asked lemecha rifto lioilam vafilu bemilcha dilma osi lemichla bekuscha. This whole fear of Rabbo Bar Eloi with regard to the bread is that if you were to allow the bread to be eaten in any form, you might come to eat it with kusach, which was a dairy dip. And if you have bread that's prepared in the fleishig, in the meat fat lined oven, if you use that bread in any form, you might come to use it with kusach. Meisvei, we have the following source. Before we read the source, we want to draw your attention to the dashed underlined section at the end of the source where it says Asurach Yasik as a Tanor. That expression indicates that a tanor that's lined or that's smeared with animal fats is also to use until you fire up the oven. If that be the case, we'd have a problem for Rabbo Bar Eloi that said that bread baked in an animal fat lined oven, any bread forever baked in such an oven is forbidden. Here we see that there is a solution to an animal fat lined oven by firing it up, thereby burning out the absorbed fats. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, the Tanaic source says, Ein loshen eso iso b'cholav, one is not to knead dough with milk. The imlosh, if one did knead the dough with milk, kol apas kula asurim in the hergel avera, the bread is forbidden to use, to eat, because of people's habit with regard to bread. What is people's habit with regard to bread? People often make meat sandwiches with their bread. So, since people are in the habit of eating their bread with meat, it's prohibited to prepare bread with a dairy liquid medium for fear that a person would take that bread as well and eat it with his meat. Likewise, one is prohibited from smearing his oven, the inner walls of his oven, with alya, animal fats. Literally, it's the sheep tail. The im tosh, if he did smear his oven with alya, which is an animal fat, kol abas kula asura achiyasik es hatanor, any bread that's baked in such an oven is forbidden, as we mentioned before, because of our fear of you eating it with kusach. However, it's not a permanent prohibition. This tanur is not prohibited permanently. It's prohibited until you yasik, is fire it up, or in this case we'll say burn out the absorbed alya. Tiufta de Rabba bar Eloi. Tiufta. This repudiates his teaching. He taught that this oven will be prohibited, the bread baked in this oven will be prohibited forever. In other words, the tanur has no solution. Here we see that the tanur does have a solution. Hence, this is a repudiation of Rabba bar Eloi. Omele Ravina Ravashi, v'chime achar di'itoisiv Rabba bar Eloi. After we've seen him, Rabba bar Eloi, being repudiated from the source that said there's a takona through hesek, through burning up, firing it up, and the firing up of the oven thereby extracts the problematic absorbed substance. Amayom Rav, why does Rav say kederos bePesach ishavru, that pots, earthenware pots, when it comes to Pesach, let's say you were using them during the year for chametz, and now it comes to Pesach, they must be smashed. Why not fire them up and thereby expunge the problematic absorbed substance? Omar Le, Rav Ashi responds, we should point out that Rav Ashi is responding to Ravina. Rav Muki Lo Hahi Bishel Mateches. The tanur that we spoke about, that it's osur ad she yasik es a tanur, that tanur was in fact a metal tanur. So that you can just note the little arrow we have to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, pointing to the written in the Hodekotoni Achisakatanur, pointing up a few lines to where that source was. So the source that said that the tanur has a solution was not talking about an earthenware tanur at all. It was talking about a metal one. And a metal one has solution. V'boy seimo, betanur shelcheres. You can say that the tanur that had a takona was in fact a tanur of cheres, an earthenware tanur. Well, what about Rav that forbids? So he says, Zeh hesseko mi bifnim, v'zeh hesseko mi bachutz. The tanur that is fired up from within, that type of tanur has a solution. We might point out that the problematic substance was absorbed through the inside walls of the tanur, so where the fire is facing the point of absorption, if you will, that is an effective way of firing something up and thereby making it permissible. V'zeh, the kederos that Rav said must be smashed, the pots, the earthenware pots that must be smashed, zeh hesseko mibachutz. Pots absorb from their from within, from the inside of the pot where you put the food. The fire, the contact of the pot with the fire, though, is from its outside. So we can say that in the case of kederos, the fire is not facing the inside wall where the absorption took place. As a result of that, its firing up is not sufficient to expunge the problematic substance, the absorbed problematic substance. Question. V'neved lehu hasel mifnim. Why not take the pots, the kederos that were mentioned, in the context of Pesach, and before Pesach simply fire up the pots from within? Means would load it up with hot coals and establish a fire in the interior of the kederos. The Gemara answers, Chayas olayu de misbury. The owner will be worried that the fire, the intense fire inside the vessel, will cause it to crack. And if you, the Rashi in Psachim, and we have a note on the inside margin as to this effect, the Rashi in Psachim, Daf Lamed Bei, says that if you allow him to take advantage of a hesek bifnim, he will come to be soimech on the hesek mibachutz, which is actually ineffective. Therefore, Rav says, don't get involved at all with attempting to kasher the kederos for Pesach. Hilko, hai kuvya. The kuvya was a type of tile the Rashi says, kuvya re'ofim chalulim kemin shvisas kedera, upamim shetochen oison oisoi shemen v'oifin boi lechem akori tichya. Was a type of piece of earthenware that was used for the baking of bread. And the kuvya here was, in the case of the Gemara, was smeared, let us say, with animal fats. The bread is attached to or pasted on one side of this vessel, and the fire is fired up from the other side, from the outside of it. As a result of that, the kuvya would not have any solution through firing up. And therefore, it's considered usur if you wanted to use it, let us say, for Pesach. You wanted to use a chometz kuvya and attempt to kasher it, you won't be successful. And therefore, it's usur. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.